Blog Talk Radio.
Golden dreaming beauty man, is it only fantasy? Sometimes one can't help but wonder, will it ever truly be? Some people keep on saying, all is illusion and lies. Why is it so hard to believe? There are better days to see. So it seems like the world is tumbling down. It's the darkest time.
Blessings and greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we want to stay alive. In Torat Chaim, instructions of life, Torat Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torat Rachamim, instructions of mercies, you're tuned to the inner frequency, the higher frequency embedded within blogtalkradio.com. We call ourselves Soul Class. This is Soul Class 510. Meditation equals wellsprings for the human soul. Program presentation number 14. Blessed is our Creator. Revealed is our Creator. Shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the human family experience. Our program right now is taking place on September 3rd, 2015, corresponding to the 19th day of Elul, month of mercies, Chodesh Rachamim, 5,775 years into creation since original man and woman lived upon this blessed earth. Program is now standing at 9:32 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, live from Turtle Island, a.k.a. USA, unifying souls actually. Content of today's presentation will address plucking inspiration from the end of Chapter 1 from the Mittler Rebbe, who is a direct descendant of Kings David and Solomon, from his seminal work Shari Yuchud, The Gate of Unification. The call-in number to listen right now is 347-838-8669. If you're about to leave the internet or your computer, meanwhile, may the eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. And to give you an idea of some things we like to connect to, we're talking about the Divine Creator, we're talking about the Divine Image, we're talking about a Torah Bible class, we're talking about universal redemption, we're talking about children of Israel, and the children of Israel meditating to reduce hatred, jealousy, and unnecessary competition from this world. We're also talking about Psalms, the book of Psalms chapter 1. But his desire is in the law of the Creator, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now we're just going to have to ask forgiveness from Rabbi Isaac Pitom, blessed soul partner and brother in soul and spirit, the president of Beit Mazal at 1433 President Street in Crown Heights, Kesser Crown Heights, which is located between President Street, it is located on President Street between Albany Avenue and Kingston Avenue. Let's just turn down the music and just let you know the feels for those of you who like to enjoy Sephardic Jewish prayer. The prayers start at 10 o'clock this coming Shabbos morning with the help, and the blessings of the Creator. Blessed souls, we find ourselves encompassed by a garment, a lavush of mercy, rachamim. The sages of Israel have indicated to us throughout the ages, the various sages, that this is a time for us to rejoice in the opportunity to return to Creator in a manner of melech besoda. The countenance of the Creator is not just found in the holy realms, the heavenly realm, some might say, but rather found out in the most mundane activities, the machinations of the human family experience, wherever we may be upon the face of the blessed earth. Now, with that being said, the question is, do we believe this teaching or do we not believe this teaching? But then again, why are we hearing such a thing? Is it a matter of coincidence or is it a matter of divine providence and guidance that we should hear such a teaching? I'll leave that up to you to decide, blessed souls. At the same time, too, as we lead right now in today's program, I'd like to dedicate it to the elevation of two precious souls that left the land of the living and now resting. Their bodies are on the earth. Nechama Nancy Joy, may she rest in peace, daughter of Sarah, or I should say Abraham, and also Mordechai HaKohen, Olav Hashem of blessed memory, the son of Rabbi Elazar HaKohen, may also peace be upon him. Blessed souls, less than 6 weeks ago, as now we go right into the presentation, our humble efforts, Israelites around the world who prayed in congregations with other Israelites learned or maybe just heard the following prophecy from someone who's been designated by sages as the Navi HaGeula, the prophet of redemption, none other than Isaiah, Navi Yeshayahu, in chapter 1, verse 3, an ox knows his owner, and a donkey his master's trough, but Israel does not know, my people does not meditate. Then, in that same chapter of Isaiah, chapter 1, verses 4 through 15, prophetic testimony is administered to the nation and to all peoples for all times concerning the rebuke of our nation of Israel, our sufferings and desolation, our sense of misperception of service / purpose in this world. Then we were delivered by the prophet Isaiah, the loudspeaker of the Holy One, blessed be He. We were delivered and received and are still learning from this divine advice to change our direction, to cease doing evil, what we should learn, and whom should we help. Now I, in my own humble opinion, would suggest, since there is an open connection established in these prophetic teachings, even at some level of correlation, between the lack of meditation, which historically was pointed out by the prophet Isaiah, and the divine admonishment towards the Israelite nation for not engaging in meditation, which is further amplified in a more down-to-earth human reasoning process provided to us by Maimonides Rambam, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, who instructed all human beings in the spirit of Isaiah and the ancient prophets. For all human beings, he or she, who seek to love and fear our eternal Creator, our meaning our all-inclusive eternal Creator for all of the human beings that have ever been upon this blessed earth, will are and ever will be, that those who seek to love and fear our eternal Creator, that one practical outcome from meditation is just that. Meditation is the means by which any human being, he or she, can attain love and fear of our eternal Creator. And if you want to learn more about this teaching from Rambam, please go to Rambam's Mishneh Torah, Laws of the Foundation of the Torah, Chapter 2, Law 2. So when I start now to ask you, blessed souls, to focus upon Torah concepts embedded within the words meditation, otherwise known as bonenus, inner understanding, also known as panemius or panemial tbina, or analytical Torah study, also known as iyun, the focus is not just on viewing such topics in a manner that your focus is merely on the words meditation, inner understanding, and analytical Torah study. Meaning, don't make a mantra by just repeating these words that you wish to engage in meditation, inner understanding, or analytical Torah study, but rather to focus on the data presented to you, blessed souls, the rochav, the breadth or width of this data, which can be at times extremely terse with some definitions, or elongated via an accurate orech, a length, / simplification of the data. For without actually acquiring a database regarding the Torah concept, a muskal shel Torah hidbonanut, iyun, analytical Torah study, or penimia bina, inner understanding, there is no qualitative or quantitative das, knowledge or sensitivity, towards the essence of Torah-based meditation. Thus, to clarify, the human experience of das, or dat, knowledge or sensitivity, is a quality-type of connection of a human being's feeling, his or her feeling, towards his or her Torah-based comprehension to the greatest extent possible. And such das, sensitivity or knowledge, prepares any human being, he or she, to be privy to access a more elevated cognitive awareness into what he or she had previously comprehended. And this humid cognitive experience is activated via a qualitative iyun, analytical Torah study. But we must point out that iyun itself, analytical Torah study, is merely a vessel itself allowing a human being to connect to the depth of his or her comprehension of a Torah concept. Also, I want to point out to you, blessed souls, das, or dot, contains within it a unique length, width, or breadth, / depth. For their different scenarios, how people are privy to accessing their human living experience, or experiencing their das, their sensitivity and knowledge. For one person, they may possess a short-brief form of das. Another person can possess a long form of das. Another person can possess a wide form of das, but lack a long form of das, sensitivity or knowledge. Then another person can possess a strong form of das, sensitivity or knowledge. Another person, he or she, may possess a light form of das, devoid of any sense or sensitivity towards the depth of their knowledge, producing an outcome or a type of das which is short or brief. Now, the above terse distinctive types of das just mentioned above contrast human beings in basically two general categories, and again, within those two general categories, there are various qualities and quantities. This is the type of person whose das is light, which is describable as superficial, in contrast to a human being's experiencing das as quite deep, which can be understood more readily by contrasting, say, the das, the knowledge or sensitivity of a child whose level of das is generally light, due to no fault of theirs, but rather the fact that they are just still in the tender years of their development and are unable to activate a true power or potential of actualizing a feeling and connection towards a Torah concept, although he or she, even during their tender years, may understand the Torah concept according to their unique cognitive awareness, or even desire to know a Torah concept. I mean, we see that there are certain children that are just brighter than others. That's the way it is. But those who are not as bright should not have a nefilat ruach, a falling of spirit, because given the right environment, the right encouragement, by loving, nurturing teachers, and of course parents and siblings, they can develop also a very fertile consciousness. This is to encourage those of us who form the environment for educating those younger than us, especially children in their tender years of their spiritual development. We're talking about children of all ages. And for the wise, what I hinted to suffices to you. So during a child's young, tender years of cognitive development, while they could amass a decent level of knowledge, or while they're engaged in their learning, yet so easily they can be distracted, say if they're learning Torah in their dining room of where they live, and all of a sudden they see a candy bar or a sibling eating a candy bar. Soon their attention is distracted by the sight of a sibling eating a candy bar, and they stop learning. Or they may be hearing the neighborhood ice cream truck blare music in the streets and suddenly develop a desire for eating a sweet treat as opposed to the sweetness of eternal Torah. Or maybe they hear the sounds of their youthful peers playing in a courtyard, a pickup game of soccer. And again, their attention span easily shifts from wanting to learn a Torah concept, which they may be experiencing great success in learning, doing their homework, to wanting to be with those other children playing outside. Now, in contrast, and then that's an example of a das kal, a light type of das, sensitivity or knowledge base. In contrast, an adult human being who is blessed to possess a deep das, a deep sensitivity and a deep knowledge, there's a term used by that for them, as described by the Mittler Rebbe in his Os Aleph, first chapter of Shar Yuchot, the Gate of Unification, Shadato Amuka, he or she possesses a deep das. For that Torah concept he or she is studying currently, they understand or desire to understand even with a greater depth and with a greater width and length. And one possible consequence of their consciousness on the adult level of living experience is the elicitation, which is brought down to he or she via their previous level of das, sensitivity and knowledge, where they are accessing now a new Torah wavelength of das, or perhaps a new width or breadth wavelength of das, relating to whatever he or she have merited to understand, which proceeds out as a positive outcome of engaging in analytical Torah study. Now, the Mittler Rebbe taught from the first chapter in Shar Yuchot, the Gate of Unification, that a sign by which a human being can identify for him or herself if they are accessing Hamakas Hadas, great focus, can be understood by considering the human cognitive experience interacting with a type of contraction, or so to speak, fine focusing of the vessel of his or her brain in order to access a tremendous depth of connection into the Torah concept. And I've heard this described by athletes when they're on a, say, like a hitting streak, or they're pitching very well, or they're shooting the ball very well into the basket, or they're throwing the pass very well on the football field. They're in a zone of awareness where they're so focused on within that zone that it excludes them from thinking about other things, and therefore they achieve tremendous level of success in their athletic endeavors. But here we're talking about, of course, lahavdil, the idea of accessing a tremendous depth of connection into a Torah concept, that from that experience precisely, where there's deep focus, amokas hadas, any human being can come to the essence of the depth of his or her comprehension, empowered by his or her analytical study, which emerged from his or her humble and yet initial understanding of a Torah concept. Now, to be sure, analytical Torah study is the opposite of contraction or shrinkage, kibbutz, kibbutz amoch. For behold, Ian Dabina, the analytical properties of the human experience of understanding something on it with an inner penetrating level of comprehension, also is flexible enough to restrain a human being's cognitive mindset, to restrain him or herself, and stand up to the challenge of seeking out the truth of the Torah concept they are seeking to better understand, which is something which is, again, a positive outcome of the beginning of their Eon experience, their Torah analytical experience. However, immediately at the point of which the person has achieved he or she focus of the Torah study that they are learning, and hopefully meditating upon, there should also transpire in a moment that really can't be measured, because we're talking about a level of transfer of experience from focus to now a dispersion of consciousness into the world or breath, into the width or breath of a new understanding, which will entail interacting with particularities or portions, each portion being tangibly elucidated, with many particularized differentialities between new fact number one and, say, in this example, new fact 27, meaning they started at new fact number one concerning their Torah meditative experience, their analytical Torah study, their inner understanding experience, and before they know it, they've reached new fact number 27 concerning a Torah concept, meaning they were definitely cognitively aware between Torah meditative new fact number 2 through 26, but after they get to new fact of a Torah meditation upon a Torah concept, it might surprise them, like, how did I get this far? Well, it's because your focus and your analytical Torah study empowered you to do so, of course, with the blessings of the Most High, and hopefully on the human experience level with the encouragement of others. Excuse the noise there. Now, if a Torah concept is not analyzed sufficiently by a human being, which means that they have not accessed properly the Torah divine information, which is accessible to all human beings, which is akin to what is written in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 2, quote, the earth was astonishingly empty, with darkness upon the surface of the deep, and the divine presence hovered upon the surface of the waters, which means this, blessed souls, godliness is everywhere. But if we do not seek to access this Torah knowledge, then basically we're saying the world or human beings as part of the human family experience cannot in fact access this information. And if we can't access the information aside from the godliness that is manifest in the world, you know, through the aegis of the Creator, then we're saying that we're not participating in this information. We're saying the world is nothing more than a place that is absolutely void of this knowledge. And that's not the point of engaging or promoting a meditative experience, but rather to say that the divine presence hovered upon the surface of the waters, meaning godliness or the Creator's light hovers over all forms of human wisdom, but we want to make vessels within our mind and our hearts and then hopefully to transfer it to the rest of creation, that it's actively and openly apparent that divine presence is watching over us and guiding us and protecting us. On the other hand, when any human being, he or she, is committed to experiencing the Torah, or the Iyun Shel Torah, the analytical study of Torah, which means that he or she wants to access inner understanding, have a meditative, contemplative process. Therefore, they wish to, he or she, to activate their Amaka Sadas, the focus, the depth of their focus and sensitivity, empowering him or her to access, process, and internalize some quality of the Amchut Moskal, the depth of the of any Torah concept, whose cognitive roots dwell within the Chochma Bina, wisdom and understanding, with any Torah concept, and his or her blessed portion of wisdom and understanding become expressions, as mentioned in the Kabbalistic teachings, of Tre Reim Lo Misfarsin, two friends who never separate, meaning when we learn to meditate and at some level develop a certain type of competency of meditative experience, we have something activated within ourselves or hardwired within our active cognitive awareness, a relationship between our right brain thinking and left brain thinking, which never wants to separate, and just a matter of us turning to that unique unification of the wisdom and understanding, which is uniquely and divinely embedded within our minds. That doesn't make us gods, it makes us human beings who are accessing godliness. And in this expression of human experience, any human being can gain some microcosmic cognitive awareness of the Sharnun, the 50th gate of understanding, which will be fully accessible and will be connected to understanding the inner dimensions of Torah, the Torah of Mashiach Tikeno, of a righteous Messiah, which will lead to the peace on earth, because true knowledge of godliness, blessed souls, is that catalyst which will bring the peace that all of us are seeking, whether it be just within our own experiences, for our family and loved ones, our community, our cities, our country, and all nations. And this Sharanun, which so much is dependent upon, is a type of cognitive awareness of awakening, which I may suggest, as the Mittler Rebbe taught, is an expression of the Das, the sensitive knowledge which is hidden in Puma de Ema, another Kabbalistic term, in the mouth of understanding. Now, with that being said, blessed souls, we've now concluded basically my humble efforts, terse efforts, with the intentions to share such information with you, the first chapter of the Shar Yichud, the Gate of Unification, by the Mittler Rebbe, who was, and still is, even where he is now, been living at the next level of life since 1827, in the upper realms of creation. He lived from 1773 until, again, he went to the next level of life in 1827. We finished basically sharing this information. Now, I'm having a technical glitch with my computer where I cannot access properly the means by which to end today's program, which is a little bit of a headache for me. Oh, looks like we're going to get to it now. And what I'd like to do, blessed souls, is to share with you something that we of Israel now have a custom of doing every day until the new lunar calendar year, the Hebrew calendar year, the human lunar calendar year. It is now the 19th of Elul, and from now until the 29th of Elul, to the 28th of Elul, for another 10 days, we'll be blowing shofar. I'd like to give an example of what the shofar sounds like. Then we'll end, of course, with our segue ending music of David Dom, who will help us get back home to remind us our Tzelem Elokim is no dream. Our divine image will help us get on scrimmage to remind us we've got to do good. And even if we have some ambivalence towards doing good, that's okay, because Ateva Tov Lehetiv, it is the nature of the good to do good, and the Creator is the source of all good. So now we're just going to segue with Jerusalem Shofar at Sunrise from Ari Wirth, and then we're going to turn to some segue ending music by our beautiful brother David Dom. Take care, everyone. We're queuing up the song by David Dom, which is a beautiful song that I've never tired of listening, and I hope you never will tire of listening it as well. And a one, and a two. and a 3, and a 4, and a 5, and a 6, and a 7, and a 8, and here we go. Take care, everyone.
Heading with a heart that's cold. Yeah.